You may be seated. Thank God for America. Amen. Tell you what, driving across this land and seeing the beautiful snow-capped Rocky Mountains and the great grandeur lakes laying out in crystal blue. There was some state that we were going through. I'm not sure what it was. Kathy would probably remember. It seemed like South Dakota or whatever. But boy, I tell you, the water was as blue as blue as blue. It was just so gorgeous. And but anyway, thank you for praying. Thank you. We got a safe trip, 5,200 plus miles. We drove on our vehicle. And coming back, we only got about 200 miles before we had to fill up. And that was a big tank on my truck. And so 50, 60 bucks every time we filled up in 200 miles. And I'm not sure how far Montana is, but our son's back. And I praise the Lord for him and what God's going to do. And it was an enjoyable trip. Kathy kept me awake all the while. Poking at me all the time, you know. Thank God for GPSs, amen. You know, they're what an invention. But anyway, it was good. It was so good and awesome to see all the folks that were out for the picnic. We heard a lot about you guys and picnicking out and all the work that was done with the lawns and the wood being cut and all the food that was being made. It was just awesome to hear that the picnic was good and God granted us good days. Let me just say that in July the 4th, we don't have very many Sundays. It's on July the 4th. And this is July the 4th, and so we're going to be looking at a message maybe a little bit different today, but we're going to be looking at freedom. If you stop and consider the freedoms that you and I enjoy, we all enjoy freedoms here in America, don't we? We are blessed. I mean, we were free to drive through state after state after state after state to go on out there, and there was no checkpoints, there was no Gestapos there checking our papers, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful country, and we have so many freedoms here in America. But yet, as we are going to see in the message, I think, that you're going to see some of our freedoms are being eroded, and somehow that erosion of freedoms, it means something in a spiritual sense. We also have freedoms, not only as a country, but as an individual. The tail end of the message we're going to be looking at as an individual, how can I truly grasp the freedom that Christ offers me? And apply it to the world around me, my family, relationships that I have, jobs. How do I apply it to my country here in America? In the mid-1700s, American colonists, they revolted. They were paying high taxes to England and to King George III, and they revolted. They said, taxed enough. And so they sort of pulled back, and in 1767, they threw a party. It was called the Boston Tea Party, and you probably remember that from history lessons from years gone by, but in that Boston Tea Party, they dressed up like Indians, and they partied, and they threw a whole bunch of, cases of tea overboard, and war in America quickly followed. And God raised up various men, and one of the men was a man named George Washington. George Washington, he became the leader of the Continental Army. God also raised up leaders, other men. In fact, 56 courageous men who God raised up, they gathered in Philadelphia and they signed a document called the Declaration of Independence. These men, they paid a high price for themselves and for their families because we always have to remember that freedom is never free. Very costly. Takes a heavy toll. The Declaration of Independence was read aloud in city squares and courtyards all across this land. The good news spread in villages everywhere. In July the 4th, 1776, bells rang out, and firecrackers sounded, and Americans rejoiced in the newfound freedom from England. But yet war continued. It was a declaration that was made that day, but war continued and the anguish continued and the hurt and the struggles continued. And it wasn't until 1783 when the colonists finally celebrated their first true Independence Day. The second president of the United States, his name was John Adams. He was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, and in a letter he wrote to his wife, he wrote about the 4th of July, the day that we are in today. And in that letter, he said this, quote, "I believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be celebrated by pomp and parade, with shows and games and sports and guns and bells and bonfires and illuminations." That's fireworks. "From one end of the continent to the other." That's freedom. Celebrate the freedom. That we are free. Not only are we free under the tyranny of England and the taxation of England, but we're free. And so he said to celebrate. But let me just say that never, never, never take your freedom for granted. See, freedom isn't free. Freedom always must be guarded. If we fail to guard our freedoms will be stripped away and gone, vanish. They evaporate. See, freedom, ultimately, if you study the Word of God and the Scriptures, freedom is granted by Almighty God. That's where freedom comes from. The ultimate freedom is found in Christ. Like no other time in history of America do we see our freedoms today and our liberties being eroded away. Our forefathers broke out from tyranny from England, and today we're seeing another thing. If you watch the media and watch the news and the headlines, but there's a thing called the Tea Party Movement. You ever heard of that? Some have, some haven't. Tea Party Movement. What's tea stand for? Taxed enough already. So there's a movement under tow across this land that people are starting to rise up and say, man, I'm taxed enough already. I'm paying so much taxes. I don't know if I was going to do this, but I didn't have time to bring it all together, but I was going to bring up some of the bills because there's literally hundreds of taxes that we're paying that we know nothing about. Just take a look at your phone bill sometime. And look at all this little stuff. Take a look at your electric bill. Your electric bill's not too bad, but it's all that other stuff that they put on there. You know what I'm talking about. And that's why the Tea Party movement, like the Boston Tea Party, is starting to really take root across America. What's going wrong today? What's happening in this country that blesses us so much with freedoms that God has given to us? And what's going on? How can we preserve our liberties? But the greater question, I think, for all of us in this room, because America, you know, I just drove way across America and way back across, and it's a gorgeous, beautiful place, and there's so much freedom out there. But how can little old me make a difference in the freedom of this great big country? You know what I'm saying? It's tough. You look at how can I make a tangible difference in Washington or in the government of my that's ruling us as a nation. We're going to see that a little bit in the later part of the lesson that individually we can make a difference. In the Scriptures, if you have your Bibles, turn, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I would encourage you to go home today, and if you have a moment of spare time, I know it's busy and family will be around and the swimming pools will be going because I think it's pretty hot outside, and you know, but if you get a chance, read the whole of the chapter of 28 of Deuteronomy. It was written to the nation of Israel. God gave it to Moses, and Moses brought it back across to the people because they just went into the promised land. Remember, after 40 years of wandering out there, they finally made it into the promised land, And just as they went into that land and Moses sort of rehashed all these blessings and to the nation of Israel. In the Scriptures, in Deuteronomy 28, but in all of the Bible that you have, there's over 8,800 promises from God found in His Word. That's a bunch. They're promises. And if God makes a promise, guess what? Who's going to keep it? God is. We make promises sometimes, and we don't oftentimes live up to our promise. We can see everything in culture in our society today says, you know, you can change. You can do anything you want to do. You don't need to uphold your vow. You don't need to uphold your promises. But God makes them. You can take it to the bank. Rest assured, it's real and it's true. There's 133 promises in this chapter 28 of Deuteronomy alone. These promises are for God's children, those who are saved by faith from the Old Testament to the New Testament. They're written to Israel in the Promised Land as they went into the Promised Land, but chapter 28, verses 1 through 14, expressly speaks of God's blessings in response to obedience. Verses 15 through 68, it speaks of God's curses. Get that now. His curses to those in response of disobedience. We're going to be reading predominantly the first blessings, the good things. But understand that the curses, God's curses, is four times longer than his blessings. And I think that is instructive to us, understanding that God, and even Jesus, when he was on this earth, he taught more about hell than he did about heaven. See, because it's a weighty, heavy subject. And what we're going to go into today is going to be a weighty, heavy. Some of us might realize, man, I've never saw this before, but understand it. We've got to go in truth of God's word and speak and look at now in Deuteronomy 28. In verse 1, it says, if you fully follow or fully obey the Lord your God. You notice that if, it's a conditional place upon us. This is conditional. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I am giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. God is telling the nation of Israel, if you obey me, I'm going to exalt you, Israel, above all the nations of the world. I'm going to give you special honor. And then it says in verse 2, it says, you will experience all these blessings if, the condition again, if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Sometimes our towns aren't very blessed today. Our cities aren't blessed. We see Detroit, which is known for the being the capital murder site of the world, of our country. There's more murder sometimes that happens in Detroit in a day or a week than all the troops in Iraq when they were fighting in Iraq. Sad. But God says, if you obey me, I'm going to make your cities blessed. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Notice verse 4, your children and your crops will be blessed. In other words, solid homes and solid families. I'm going to give you abundant resources. Your resources are going to be so abundant. The offspring of your herds and your flocks will be blessed. This is productivity. You, whatever you put your hand to, the product, your herds and your flocks, they're going to be blessed. They're going to be productive. They're going to have babies. They're going to have young. And your herds are going to grow and multiply. I'm going to bless you if you obey me. That's what God is saying. Notice in verse 5, your fruit baskets and your breadboards will be blessed. And wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be blessed. This is your free market. Whatever you do, whatever your venture, whatever your capitalistic enterprise is, I'm going to bless you because you're being obedient to me. You're being faithful to me, and I'm going to pour out my blessing on you. And whatever you attempt to do, I'm going to bless it. With prosperity, with success. I'm going to give it to you. Why? Because you're walking with me, God says. Folks, this is important. Notice in verse 7, the Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter from you in 7. God says, I'm going to give you Israel. I'm going to give you military superiority over all your enemies. When your enemies are attacking you, you're going to stand strong like a lion, and they're going to be scared of you, and they're going to flee, and they aren't going to touch you. This is called peace through strength. Amen? Remember Ronald Reagan pushed that. Peace through strength. We also see in verse 8, the Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do. Everything you do. And the Lord will fill your storehouses with grain. This is your prosperity and your wealth and success. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. Notice the condition again in verse 9. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he swore he would do. Verse 10, then all the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you. They stood up and they said, Jehovah God is our God. And all the nations trembled. Today we can't even mention God in our schools. We kick him out, and we take prayer out of schools, and we take the Ten Commandments off the walls. God, you have nothing to do in our government or our form of education today. And all I'm telling you, folks, they were unashamed of God. God says, if you stay unashamed of me in the name of Jesus, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you strong. I'm going to prosper you. This is what God is saying. Look at verse 11. The Lord will give you prosperity in the land He swore to your ancestors to give you. He's going to give you blessings. He's going to bless you with many children, numerous livestock, abundant crops. What we see is prosperity and strong families and tremendous food production. You drive out west and you just see hundreds of thousands of acres of corn and a soybean and livestock and cattle. It's just sold, the breadbasket of the world. They make so much, they grow so much production out there, it can feed all of us here in America. Plus, we can send it all over the world and feed the world too. We're so blessed. And God says, I'm going to give you that prosperity. Verse 12, the Lord will send rain at the proper time from His rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work you do, and you will lend to many nations. You notice that phrase? You will lend to many nations. God's going to give you rich treasuries in heaven. I'm going to bless all the work you do. Your capitalistic approach is going to be good. Your businesses will thrive. Your cattle will thrive. Your houses will be good. I'm going to bless you if you obey me. Over and over. But notice it says, but you will never need to borrow from them. That's all the nations around you. Sadly today, the latest fact says that we owe foreign nations right now $4 trillion. That's not billions, folks. This is trillion. We are in debt to foreign nations by $4 trillion. We're in debt to China. $1 trillion. 900 and some billion dollars to China alone. See, God says, you're going to lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. Verse 13, if, there's conditional again, if you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today, and if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you will always be on top and never at the bottom. In other words, you will be a nation of Israel, America. You will be the envy of the world. The world will look at you and understand that there's something supernatural about you, America. There's something different about you, Israel. Because God, the true God, is in charge of your land. And the people are humbled and submitted to Him. And when that happens, I tell you what, God pours His blessing out upon us. Notice it says you have an awesome reputation, but in verse 14, you must not turn away from any of the commandments I am giving you today, nor allow or follow other gods and worship them. So we see the blessings that God has promised Israel. And I believe it's written to specific people for all of us today. Verses 15 through 68 speaks of God's curses upon a nation that disobeys His word. His curses upon them. And if you extrapolate it and bring it all down, there's much I could spend the rest of the morning. Hunger, famine, droughts, natural calamities, earthquakes, that would include, that would be volcanoes, that would be tornadoes, all those things. Fire, I would say even the Gulf region with the oil that's spilling out in the Gulf. All these natural calamities, things that's sort of like out of our control almost, will start to happen. Military weakness with a growing threat of the enemy. Do we see that? Military, we got the greatest military. Thank God for our military, because without the military making that sacrifice for our freedoms today, we so take it lightly. Freedom isn't free. Notice also in those verses down through there, it speaks of dysfunctional families, speaks of a hatred by other nations toward you. It speaks of being filled with confusion, not knowing what to do. Everyone has an idea. Everyone has a big rhetoric, but nobody has any solutions to the rhetoric. Boy, I tell you what, God said that's a curse. See, God said I place curses on a nation that turns their back on me. One of the things that's very interesting today, we see a thing that's being talked about all the time on the news. It's called illegal aliens. Okay, immigration, the policies, and you know the Arizona law. I mean, they're having all kinds of problems. They basically did a law down there. Everyone says it's unconstitutional, but yet nobody read the law to even say it's unconstitutional. It's sick. A lot of talk with not a whole lot of fact. What does God say about it? And then in this very chapter, look at verse 34 or 43. If you have your Bibles, you have to look down and look at it. It talks about the alien to the nation of Israel. It said, the alien who lives among you will rise. This is a curse that God places. God says, this curse, the alien who lives among you will rise above you higher and higher, but you will sink lower and lower. Because you are disobeying me, I'm going to allow the alien out there to get greater and greater influence as you descend down. Verse 44, he will lend to you. The alien will lend to you. Foreign countries are lending to us like crazy, aren't they? And when you lend to somebody, you are indebted to that person that you're borrowing money from. They get a hook in you. And then they can start to control you to make you do what they want you to do. He will lend to you, but you will not lend to him. He will be the head, but you will be the tail. What this is talking about in the context here of Israel, the aliens, illegal aliens in Israel day, people that came around and came into Israel, they will profit. They will profit at Israel's expense. God goes on in that chapter. He says that you will be subject to enemies all around. You'll be compassionless. Compassionless. The compassion, the love, the empathy that you would feel for someone, that's gone. Everything is hard, clear cut. No love, no smile. This is the way it is. We see a compassionless. We also look at the curse. It will be scattered, totally divided. Jesus said a kingdom divided against itself will not stand. This country is divided in an awful way. There's no togetherness. We all can fight. It's your side against this side. It's the left against the right. And taking two different directions, two different diametrically opposed, and so often, it's so often the case. And ultimately, devastation. I believe what is true for Israel is true for America. Following this passage is very interesting because you notice in Deuteronomy, look right there, and you have it. Look at verse 34 and talking about the curses that God places upon a country. I don't know about you, but sometimes you look at the world situation, look at all that's going on. Do you ever get discouraged? Don, you ever get discouraged? You look at it all, Bill, sometimes. You look at it and you're like, what can I do? I'm just one little individual. How can I change this big old world and this big old government that's all big? And how can I change it? What does God say here? He says, the sight you see will drive you mad. You want to pull your hair out. All this stuff going on in this world. What do I do? Understand this. Even though the world seems to be spinning out of control, God is in control. Amen. He is. God is on the throne. God doesn't change. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. And he knows exactly what's going on. And he's working out all things to good to those that love God. Love him. Those who are called according to his purpose. So we saw a few weeks ago. See, all the things that's happening, take hope, because what it does, it aims to the one big, deep truth that's seen hundreds of verses of scriptures throughout the Word of God, and that's the truth that Jesus Christ is coming back soon. Woohoo! He's coming back soon. I'm planning on seeing the Undertaker, not the Undertaker. Praise the Lord. You give him praise because he's coming back. See, all this stuff will get all whacked out and all crazy and all going all topsy-turvy, but understand that God is in control and he's bringing all this together. Because God says over in Romans chapter 13 that all authority, all governments, all powers are ordained by God. God places them in authority. George W. Bush, Barack Obama, all our senators, congressmen, all, they are placed there. God puts them there for a reason. I don't understand it all, but God certainly knows. And we can rest as his child. Thank God that he is in control and I'm not. You know, thank God. Now, history, as you look down through, and that's why I'm doing the Starling Future, okay, on Wednesday evening. Plan on coming out. It's going to be good. We're going to be streaming it live on the web and all this kind of stuff. But I tell you what, your Starling Future is verse by verse by verse by verse. We aren't going to, I don't get to something and say, oh, I don't understand that, so we've got to go something. No, we're going right through each one. And I think you'll understand Revelation in the end times in a way you've never understood before. I think you'll find it very fascinating. That's why we're calling it your startling future. History has shown that nations will go from bondage to spiritual faith. That happened back when they did the Tea Party. Their bondage with taxes, and they went from that tyranny of England to spiritual faith. Their faith grew, and many great men of God rose up during this time, and great revivals took place across this land. A Wesley, a Moody, a Spurgeon. I mean, some of these guys are just phenomenal preachers and evangelists that God raised up. Spiritual faith became strong and great. And from spiritual faith, all nations, and this is done by scholars that's so much farther along than I ever even dreamed to be, guys that really knows what they're really going into this and studied it out. They studied all these civilizations. They said, this is how countries and nations go. They go from bondage to spiritual faith. Then they go to spiritual faith, to great courage. They go from great courage to liberty. That's 56 signers' Declaration of Independence. I'm free! And then they go from liberty to abundance. That freedom of their system, of our democracy, of the former Republic of America, how we can vote people in and vote people out. It's a beautiful democracy, is a beautiful thing. The republic form of government, beautiful thing. But yet it can be abused. And so we see that this liberty now goes to abundance, where individuals are productive and making businesses and doing this and doing that. And just that liberty, that freedom to generate revenue, to grow, to have good families, to be blessed by God. It's all a blessing from God. So from liberty to abundance, but then abundance, they always go to complacency, and complacency is a self-satisfaction. That's sort of an awareness of the danger that lies ahead. It's a feeling of security. Oh, I'm secure. America's always going to be great. America's always going to be good. America's always going to do what's right. And we get that smug, secure feeling, and that's complacency. Complacency then always leads to apathy. What's apathy? Apathy is laziness. Laziness or a lack of concern, absolutely indifference. And it follows out, entails out by, do we vote? Oh, I don't need to vote. Why vote? They're just going to get in. They're all corrupt. They're all this. And so I don't vote. It's a laziness. That's an apathy. In fact, the whole proverb is still true. It says, bad politicians are elected by good people who don't vote. We are given a privilege and an honor and a duty to exercise our freedoms of voting. Amen? And if we don't, shut up. You have nothing to say. But if you vote, I vote. I can say it. Okay. It always goes to apathy. Apathy, it goes to governmental dependence. Scary, isn't it? Governmental dependence. 40% of the people don't pay any federal income taxes at all in America. There are government programs for every little thing that you could possibly think of. Where's the money all come from? Foreign countries. Aliens. $4 trillion from foreign countries. Amen? That's why we can keep giving away programs and keep giving away money. It's not ours to give. Or else all we just crank up our printing presses and start printing more. Whose money is it? Taxpayers. Yours. That's where it came from. Do I get an amen on that? That was a little weak. Amen. Ah, thank you. And from governmental dependence, we go back to bondage. This has been studied over the years, over the history of civilizations and nations. Back to bondage. Tyranny. I believe it was Thomas Jefferson said, when the people fear the government, there is tyranny. But when the government fears the people, there is liberty. Wise words from our founding fathers. Amen? It truly is. Alexander Tyler, he was a professor in 1787, back around the birth of our nation. And here's what Tyler said. He said, a democracy is always temporary in nature. It simply cannot exist as a permanent form of government. A democracy will continue to exist up until the time that voters discover that they can vote themselves generous gifts from the public treasury And from that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates who promise the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that every democracy will finally collapse due to loose fiscal policy, which is always followed by a dictatorship. Isn't that fascinating? This is written quite a few years ago. Understand that freedom is a state of being free rather than in bondage. Liberty, being liberty. Now, there's choices that are made. Choices as you go down through everything. Man, I see my time is almost getting up here really fast. Let me go really quick. Choices being made. There's two immutable truths. Because you guys want to go on overtime. To 2 o'clock this afternoon, I'll be going there. There's two truths. There's two principles. There's two precepts that are true that we need to realize. And the first one is rejecting God's truth, rejecting God's authority will bring bondage, which is God's judgment. Get that. Over in Romans chapter 1, 18, it says, the wrath of God is being revealed, presently being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. This is an immutable law. We reject God's word, we reject God's truth, and there will be consequences to it. And the consequences of rejecting God, disobeying Him as an individual, as a church, as a people of a nation, as leaders of a nation, we reject the truth of God's word. We kick God out of our lives and our culture. You mark it down. There's going to be judgment and there's going to be bringing bondage. You will lose your liberties. This is the word of God, folks. I believe that we're under God's judgment here in America today. I really do. And yet often us as God's people, God says in Hosea, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Well, I never watch the news. I never read the newspaper. It scares me. I don't want nothing to do with it. There is stuff going on that we need to understand as God's people, that we can pray, we can intervene, we can vote, we can do whatever God calls us to do and be good citizens in this great republic that God calls us. There's so much going on in this world with crisis and terrorism, natural calamities, unemployment, escalating taxes, a moral collapse, over and over. We cannot, as a nation, abort 30 million babies and say, oh, it's okay. But yet we go down and we'll spend $3 million to save a golf or a seagull down in the Gulf. Please don't get me that I'm against animals. I love animals. But it seems like we get our balance of equilibrium all messed up. We don't know which way we're going. The mother's womb that is precious and that little baby can be taken out and partial birth abortion. And the sides of our Congress, and some, one side is way over here, one side is over here. Yeah, we can abort as a women's rights. And over here, the other side, no, that's murder. God is the one that has to determine that. And there's babies, and they let them babies be born and adopt them into homes. See, something going on. We're under judgment hand of God. We cannot, as a White House, say, hey, man, you know, I'm sorry, no National Day of Prayer. A couple weeks later, all of a sudden, we bring in all the homosexual crowd and the gay and lesbian societies and all the various organizations say, man, we're one of you. Can't do it. We can't do it and get away with it. Understand, rejecting God, rejecting God's truth, there will be bondage and there will be lack of liberty and there's going to be judgment hand of God. And in fact, folks, what we're seeing today really is the judgment hand of God. When we see our debt, when we see all the political pondering and all the pundits down in Washington, judging hand of God, we're under the wrath of God. Second truth that is immutable, that can't be changed, is submitting to God's truth and God's authority will bring freedom and blessing. Amen? It's freedom. As we obey and submit to our God and we trust Him, I tell you what, I'll guarantee you, you will have a freedom in your own personal life like you've never had before. And you'll have a freedom in your family and relationships in your family. And relationships in the church, relationships in your country, we will be that citizen that God calls us to be. And thank God for a republic that we can make an active effort in our form of government to make a choice, to make a difference. Proverbs chapter 14 says, God devotion makes a country strong, but God avoidance leaves people weak. That's from the Message translation. Basically, it says this in NIV. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That's the immutable truth. God's word. See, God doesn't change. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is alive and he is in charge. He is in control. And he's looking for his people to start to get your lives in control so that our country can get back in control. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will God hear from heaven. Then will God forgive their sins. Then will God heal their land. Amen? Ah, folks, it's a daunting task. I look at it, it's big. Beyond me, it's beyond you. Bob, I'm going to skip that Ed Gibbons. Let me just give them to you really fast. A man named Ed Gibbons, he gave I won't skip it, I'll go real faster. He gave 5 points. I know. He gave 5 points. He wrote a book called The Decline and the Fall of the Roman Empire. Number one is the rapid increase. I'm not going to comment on him. The rapid increase of divorce caused the empire to collapse. No external enemy came in and took over the Roman Empire. They collapsed morally from within. Number one, the rapid increase of divorce. Number two, higher and higher taxes. Number three, mad craze for pleasure. Number four, the building of gigantic armaments. And number five, the decay of religion. Five reasons. And I tell you what, today you don't hear this kind of stuff in most pulpits today. People don't talk like this. We talk nice little generalities. So religion, the decay of religion. Sadly, I believe America is not too far away from that. How do we discover ultimate freedom? Look at Psalmist said, Psalm 119:45. It says, I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. If you aren't walking in freedom right now, some here this day may be walking in bondage. You may be being strangulated by sin in your life. You might be so much baggage in your life that you just don't know whether which way is up or which way is down. God says you can walk in freedom. And that freedom, as you and I as a Christian walk in, it just liberates us. That's why Paul could be chained in a stinking, rotten, dirty dungeon with rats running around. And just praising God. He had that peace. He had that freedom, even though he was chained. And if you and I ever get to the point where we have total tyranny and a big dictatorship, you and I can be free in Jesus no matter what circumstances of our life. Amen? We can. We're free in him. How do we get that freedom? Accept God's Son as my Savior. Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. If you are sitting here today and aren't saved, you are not a child of God. You need to be born again. You need to get your sins forgiven. Your sins will torpedo your life and take you to hell in all of eternity. But when you trust Jesus Christ and you repent of your sin, turn from your sin, and believe on Jesus, you're going to be saved. Amen. That's what God's word is. That's a promise. God doesn't lie. Believe him. See, man-made religion says, oh, you got to do this and this and this. You got to be confirmed and baptized and homogenized and pasteurized, and then finally you make it to heaven. Something. No! He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whew, powerful. All right, believe. So you accept God's Son as my Savior. Number two is accept God's Word as my standard. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training, and righteousness. God's word is the standard of my life. I have a biblical worldview. The world has a secular worldview. And that secular worldview is in the media. It's in everything out there. Our schools, our educational system, everything is secular. It's an anti-biblical worldview. It's an anti-God worldview. And that worldview is just permeating and just rich and rich and just totally trying to destroy everyone's life. And Christians, we have a biblical. Your standard is not what the government says. Your standard is what the Bible says. Stand for the Word of God. God says that if abortion is murder, it's a murder. We can't rationalize it because of a politician down here. Or I don't want to ruffle feathers over this person over here. And we just got to all get along. And we all compromise ourselves. No. Accept God's Son as my Savior. Accept God's Word as my standard. Accept God's will as my strategy. The psalmist said, I desire to do your will, O God. Your laws is within my heart. The goal of our life is to do God's will, not your will. And oftentimes we want to go through life doing my thing, my way, my. It's all about me and my will. It's all about God. Even the Lord Jesus, the night he was arrested, said, Father, take this cup from me, but not my will, but your will be done. It's a submission to God's will, not your will. That's your strategy for life. To please him, to love him, to walk with him. Accept God's Son as my Savior. Accept God's Word as my standard. Accept God's will as my strategy. Accept God's power as my strength. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You and I cannot do nothing without Christ. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nada, zero, nothing. We've got to abide in the vine. Not abiding in the vine, it gives us that freedom. Whew. That means you don't have to produce the fruit because God is the one that's producing it through you. Amen? And then lastly, accept God's promises as my surety. Romans 6:22, now you have been set free from sin, have become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness. Look at the result. What's the result? Let's say it together. Eternal life. That has a ring to it that just beyond comprehension. Amen? Eternal life. My friends, someday when the chapter is written on our lives, it's all over, and you and I someday are going to be there with our Lord forever. And all the struggles and the pains and the hurts and the trials and the tribulations that we go through down here, it's going to be worth it all. And to hear our Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Oh, that's going to be nice. But how long is forever? That's pretty long, isn't it? No ending. Forever and ever and ever and ever. See, freedom all starts with Jesus. You can be free right now from your sin. Living that life. And because you're free, you're going to see have discernment to see what's going on in our world, to be able to pray better, to be able to intercede, to be actively engaged, and to share your faith, be the salt, be the light with the world around us. And that's what changes our government. Because our government can't change, but God can change our government. Amen. Woo! We got a great God. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we